Let's take our Bible this morning and open to the book of Romans, chapter number 3 and verse number 21. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 21. Recently, I've been working on some messages that have to do with the subject of justification. Justification is a beautiful Bible doctrine. It's very important. It's found in many places in the Word of God. It's talked about in many places. Justification, by the way, is a work of God. It's not a work of man. It's a work of God whereby God declares a sinner to be righteous. I can say that again because it's very important. Justification is a work of God whereby he declares a sinner to be righteous. It's not based at all upon anything that you and I do. It's not based upon any good works that we have done, monies we have given, church membership that we have applied for, or you know, anything else like that. Justification is a work of God whereby he declares a sinner to be righteous. It's a very special work of God. It's a very important work of God. And only God can do it. You say, well, Pastor, what is our part? It's all summed up in one word: believe. Just take God at his word. Just believe him. Just, you know, once you believe him, you claim that as your own. It's yours. It's a free gift. You've seen me do this numerous times if you've been here for a while, where I've called somebody up here on the platform with me and I pull out my wallet and I pull out a dollar bill or a $5 bill or whatever I have, and I offer that to the person standing next to me, and I go through this little explanation of, well, it's mine, I earned it, and it's in my hand, and now I want to offer it to you, and I hold it out and extend my hand towards the person that I've called up here, and then all they have to do to make it theirs is reach out and take it, and once they take it, it's theirs. I don't ask for it back. I send them back to their seat. It's a simple illustration, but it illustrates justification. God did all the hard work when he gave his son to be our Savior. And Jesus died on the cross and suffered tremendously for you and for me so that we could have the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. It's not based on anything we do. It's all based on the finished work of Christ on the cross. So God, then, when we believe what he said about this, when we believe what Jesus did for us concerning this, when we take him as our Savior, God declares us to be righteous. Oh, this is such an amazing truth when you think about it. I haven't done anything to deserve this. In fact, if I'm really honest, and if all of us are really honest, we've done everything we can to not deserve it. That's the honest truth. I'm looking at a bunch of stinkers. And I have a worse word for myself, okay? But really, we are sinners. Both by birth and also by choice. But somehow, in God's great love for you and me, he has decided to give us the opportunity to be justified. That's why I've chosen for my title as we go. I don't know how many messages this will be. It'll be a couple anyway. I can promise at least two. It probably will extend into three, and who knows, maybe more. But I call this little series Justified by Faith. Justified by Faith. God does the justifying part. Our part is the faith part. Just believe. Just take God at his word. Just believe it. So, we're going to start out with Romans chapter 3, and I'll give you a fair warning. We're going to look at some other verses. Thankfully, they're all in the book of Romans. Okay? They're all in the book of Romans today. Next Sunday might be different. But notice Romans chapter 3, verse 21, through the end of the chapter. But now the righteousness of God, please notice this, without the law, is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. You see the word there. For there's no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace. I don't know about you, I like free. being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. The word propitiation, it's a big word. We don't use it very often. But really all it does is say to us that when God the Father saw the sacrifice of His Son on the cross, He was satisfied that the demand had been met for our salvation. Propitiation. He paid it in full. God saw it as if He had a big stamp in heaven that said, paid in full. That's the word propitiation, all right? Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation, notice again, through faith. Remember the word believe? Through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, His, not ours, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Notice the word believeth. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith. There's the title. Justified by faith without the deeds of a law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith, circumcision referring to the Jews, and uncircumcision through faith. Uncircumcision refers to the Gentiles. Verse 31. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. What a great passage. We're going to look at several passages in the book of Romans today. I do hope that this is an encouragement to you. I can't say enough how happy I am to be justified by faith. Thank God that it's possible for people like you and me to be justified by faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help me please as I go through this outline, guide and direct my thoughts and my words, and please, may I be your mouthpiece to speak to your people today, for it's in Jesus' name I ask. Amen. I want to speak to you about these things today. Number one, the source of justification. Number two, the basis of justification. Number three, the guarantee of justification. And number four, the channel of justification. Number one is the source of justification, and it's in the passage that we just read. Chapter 3, verse 24, chapter 3, verse 24 of Romans, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Here's the source. Here's the source of our justification. Notice the Bible says here, we are justified freely. Freely. Do you understand this morning, friend, if you never, ever give a dime in the church offering, you can still be justified? Amen. Oh, yes, it's very true. Now, don't get me wrong. I want you to give. I'm not trying to encourage you not to give. In fact, our church has been very generous that way, which allows us to do what we do, you know, support missionaries and give to special projects and all that. And thank you for your generosity. I'm not saying we shouldn't give, but what I am saying is the giving has nothing to do with making sure you get justified. Because we're justified freely, the Bible says. Freely. Now again, I said it earlier, I'll say it again. I like free. I really like free. There are very few things in life that are free. Isn't it true? A lot of times, you know, people expect the government to give them all this free stuff. Well, guess what? Even that's not free because taxpayers paid for it. It's not free. It might be free as it's given to the person who did nothing to earn it, but it's not free typically because we had to pay for it. Those of us who pay taxes, we paid for that. Okay? There's nothing free. But when it comes to salvation, it's free. Amen. Now listen. To us. To us. But it was not free to Jesus. It was not free to His Father. It was not free to the Holy Spirit. You know, it wasn't free to God. God gave up a lot so that you and I could have the free gift of salvation. Free to us, yes. Didn't cost us a thing. But it cost the Father and Jesus and the Holy Spirit everything. Everything. We are justified freely. Notice this Bible verse also says, being justified freely by His grace. You understand that grace is God giving us something good that we don't deserve? There isn't a person that is here that I'm looking at, or you looking at me. There isn't a person in this room who deserves to go to heaven. Nope, sorry. None of us deserve to go to heaven. You couldn't be good enough to earn your way into heaven. You couldn't give enough money to earn your way into heaven. You couldn't turn over enough leaves to earn your way into heaven. There's nothing you can do to earn your way into heaven. Flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. We're all guilty sinners before God, both by birth and also by choice. God, in His grace, offers us heaven. God giving us something good that we don't deserve. That good thing that I'm speaking about is the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. And God, by His grace, has decided to offer that to us. So we are justified freely by His grace. And you notice the verse also says, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Redemption is a word that means God purchased us. God purchased us. How did He do that? Through the death of His Son on the cross. He bought us. He purchased us. God did this when He gave His Son to die on the cross for you and for me. Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and raised again on the third day in order that He might redeem us or purchase us, make us His own. I'm so glad for that. I'm so glad for that. I'm so thankful for the source of justification. Let's go on quickly. Number two, the basis of our justification. Look at chapter 5. We're still in Romans. Romans chapter 5, verse number 9. Romans chapter 5, verse number 9. Much more than being now justified, there's that word, by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. The basis of our justification is the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross. Jesus died on the cross. Yes, He suffered tremendous agony and pain and anguish on the cross. But the most important part of His death on the cross was the shedding of His blood. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 says, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. Jesus had to die on the cross, but He also had to shed His blood on the cross, which is exactly what He did. He shed His blood on the cross of Calvary so that, again, our sins could be washed away, so that we could be declared righteous, so that we could be justified. There's no justification for people like you and me without the shedding of Jesus' blood. It is important that He died, but it's most important that He shed His blood. That was very, very, very important. And of course, He did that. That blood had to be shed. The Bible says so, both Old and New Testament. That blood that was shed for us then must be believed. How many times in the verses that we started out with did we see the word believe or believed or faith? All those words have to do with the same thing, and that's believe, all right? The blood must be believed. In Romans chapter 3, back in verse 25, where this part of our text that we started out with, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. Through faith in His blood. To declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. The sinner must have faith in what Jesus did for them on the cross. Through Jesus' death on the cross, and most importantly again, the shedding of His blood on the cross, justification will take place when the person like you or me believes Jesus. that Jesus did that for them. I'm taking you back now in our minds to the Old Testament in the book of Exodus when God was getting ready to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. There was a certain night after 9 plagues had already taken place and Pharaoh still wouldn't let them go. The 10th plague was the death of the firstborn. And that night before it happened, or the night that it happened, God instructed Moses to instruct the people, actually during the daytime, you take a lamb, you make sure that it's a perfect lamb, there's no blemishes in it whatsoever, and actually, of course, this was watched for several days leading up to it, but you take this lamb, you slit its throat, you catch the blood in a basin, you apply some of that blood to the doorpost of the house. Think about, you know, this left hand, this right hand, and then the top lintel part. Apply some of that blood. Now watch this motion. I don't know that they did the motion this way, but here's what it made me think of. Apply the blood to the 2 side posts and the lintel. What did I just form? I formed a cross. And you put that blood on the doorpost of the house, and during the night when I come over, when the Lord comes over, when the, we always say the death angel comes over, but it was the Lord that was coming over the land of Egypt. When I see the blood on the doorpost of the house, the firstborn is safe in that home. What if some of those Israelites decided, you know what, that's too easy. That's too easy. I just find that. Have you ever heard this? I just find that too hard to believe. Well, guess what would happen that night? If there's no blood on the doorpost of your house, your firstborn's going to die. And in all the homes of the Egyptians, of course, there's no blood on their doorpost. The firstborn died in every household like that. Listen, including Pharaoh's household. Because they didn't believe either. But what if some of the Israelites didn't believe? You see, they're God's people. I know, but they didn't follow God's instruction then. And God said, you got to apply the blood to the doorpost of your house. If you did, you were safe. If you didn't, then the firstborn would die. The blood, listen, the blood must be not only shed, the blood must be believed. And the way to believe it is to apply the blood to the doorpost of the house. The way to believe it today is to apply the blood to the doorpost of your heart. Amen. Remember Revelation chapter 3, verse 20? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and do what? Open the door. I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Friend, Jesus is knocking at the door. Have you opened the door? Have you invited him in? Have you, here's the word, believed? If so, the blood's been applied. If not, it hasn't been applied. The blood must be shed, it must be believed, and then I already mentioned this, but the blood has to be applied. It's got to be applied. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, it says this, "But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood," Jesus' blood, "but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" That whole passage, kind of a lengthy passage, but Hebrews there is talking about in the Old Testament it was the blood of bulls and goats, and it sanctified everything that Moses applied it to. If that was true, how much more today shall the blood of Jesus Christ purge our hearts and our lives from the sin that we're so guilty of? The blood has to be shed, believed, and applied. The shed blood of Jesus Christ, listen, the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross does you or me absolutely no good until it's believed and applied. I guarantee you this, I hate to say this, but it's true. There will be millions of people who miss out on heaven because they didn't believe and apply the blood of Jesus Christ to their heart. Millions! Remember again the story from the book of Exodus. If you didn't believe, same thing is true today. If you don't believe, it's nothing at all to do with being a Baptist. It's nothing to do with church membership. It's nothing to do with money given in the plate. It's all about believing and applying the blood of Jesus Christ to your heart. Number one is the source of justification. We're justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Number two is the basis of justification, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross for us, which then must be believed and applied. Number three this morning is the guarantee of justification. Look at chapter 4 in the book of Romans, verse 25. Romans 4, verse 25. Romans 4:25 says, who, and the who there refers to Jesus, by the way, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Why did Jesus die on the cross? Because he was such a wicked person? Not at all. In fact, he was perfect. There never has been nor ever will be someone as perfect as he. He lived his life perfectly. Perfectly. So why did they nail him to the cross? Because he died in our place. To take upon himself our, in this verse, the word offenses, has to do with our sins, our transgressions, the evil that we have done and are doing. All right? He was delivered for our offenses. Isaiah talks about this much, and I don't have it right here in front of me, but Isaiah talks about the fact in chapter 53 that all of our sins were laid upon him. He took our place. He suffered for our transgressions, not his own, yours and mine. I don't know if you can imagine this or not, but you know what sticky notes are, right? If you can, in your mind, just kind of imagine a bunch of sticky notes. And this is putting it mildly, of course, but a bunch of sticky notes plastered all over the Lord Jesus. But each one of those has a different person's name on it and a different record on it. Of course, it had to be small print to include all my wrongs on one sticky note. But you get the picture. All these sticky notes all over the Lord Jesus, and one of those has your name on it. Your offenses are why he died on the cross. My offenses, that's why he died on the cross. That's what the verse says, isn't it? Who was delivered for our offenses. But notice the latter half of the verse. And was raised again for our justification. The guarantee of our justification is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You know the record in the Bible, right? Jesus died on the cross. He was buried. He was in the tomb 3 days and three nights. And then on the first day of the week, early in the morning, the ladies came to the tomb and it was already empty. The stone had been rolled away. An angel was waiting there saying basically this: didn't you believe him? I mean, that's not the words they said, but I think about that every time I read that account in the Gospels, you know, because they said, whom seek ye? And of course, they're looking for the Lord Jesus. Well, he's not here. He's risen. And then the angel adds this: as he said. So it makes me think this: didn't you believe him? He's not here. He said he'd be gone 3 days and three nights. He's already gone. I know I've said this a lot from this pulpit, but the stone wasn't rolled away so that Jesus could get out. The stone was rolled away so man could look inside and see he was already gone. Friend, he rose from the dead for our justification. That's what this verse says. This is the guarantee of our justification. Even to this very day, you can go to that land. I've not been. My brother Fred's been. My dad's been. And some others that I know have been. You can see the tomb. It's empty. There's somebody there, I'm told. There's somebody there who's a guide who actually shares the gospel of salvation with all those who come to visit. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is our guarantee of God's acceptance of His Son's sacrifice on our behalf. And God saying, remember the word propitiation? God said, that's it, paid in full. It's already done. It's a done deal. That's the guarantee right there. God raising his son from the dead guarantees not only our resurrection, but it guarantees our justification. It's proof that God accepts what his son did for us on the cross. And by the way, I can almost see this happening. I can almost see, because the devil, the Bible says, in the New Testament is the accuser of the brethren. I can almost see, Brother Tim, I hope you don't mind me using you, but I can almost see the devil saying to God the Father, but you know that Tim Cooper? I know some things about Tim Cooper. I know some things that aren't all that good. I know some things that, you know, are not very flattering. I know some things that really just, you know, sometimes, I don't know about you, God, but sometimes I wonder if he's really saved. And I can almost see the Father with his finger pointing toward an empty tomb and saying to the devil, go home, leave my son alone. Amen. He believes in what my son did for him on the cross. Satan, get out of here. Amen. And Satan has to leave. Thank God for the empty tomb. Amen. Thank God for the empty tomb. It's the guarantee of our justification. Again, I referred back to that word propitiation. In 1 John 2, verse 2, it says this, and he, speaking about Jesus, is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins. Remember, paid in full. He took care of that debt for us. Here's a couple of letters that I read to you earlier, but just picture these. You know, there's more words on this one, so this is probably me. This one's got less words. This is probably Tim Cooper. But this is me, and it's got a record of all that I've done, and God stamped on there, paid in full. That's the word propitiation. By the way, Tim, yours is paid in full too. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. Did I deserve that? No. There's nothing I can do to deserve that. But God, listen, by his grace, declares it to be so. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. God the Father accepts the offering of his son in my place. By the way, and nothing else. That's the only thing he accepts, friend. You can try to get there some other way, but you will not make it. You will not make it. God only accepts one thing as the ticket to get into heaven, and that's the death of his son on the cross for you and for me. He shed his blood for us. That blood must be believed. It must be applied. Without it, no ticket. Sorry. You don't get to go. You don't get to go. We've talked this morning already about the source of justification, the basis of justification, the guarantee of justification. Now, the last thing I want to talk with you about this morning is the channel of justification, and that's Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. I don't know if you caught on to this or not, but each one of these passages has a form of the word justify in it. All right? This one does also. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, there's the title again, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the channel of justification. We must have faith in God's plan for our redemption. God's plan for our redemption is that Jesus would take our place on the cross. God's plan for our redemption is that Jesus would shed his blood on that cross to wash away our sins. God's plan for our redemption is that we would believe that and apply that and trust that for our justification. That's God's plan. We must have faith in God's plan. We must have faith in what God said in his word is God's plan for our justification, which is the sacrifice of his son on the cross. We must believe that the sacrifice of God's son on the cross, you ready? Is enough. On Wednesday nights right now, we're studying the book of Galatians. And in the book of Galatians, there's a lot of discussion there between Paul and the churches in Galatia about the fact that justification is by faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross. And you don't have to add any works to it. The law really can't help you there. Justification is free. It's by grace. It's by faith. It's God's gift to anyone who would believe. And Paul's message to those Christians at Galatia is, you just need to stop listening to those who are Judaizers. It's a word that refers to those who want to add works to faith. It's a word that refers to people who, okay, you get saved by faith, but you also got to keep the law. And his whole message throughout the book of Galatians so far has been, you don't need to listen to those people. They're steering you in the wrong direction. So that's what got me thinking about these messages about justification for Sunday morning. And the channel is you and I just trusting what God said, believing what God said. Listen, letting go of everything else and just trusting in what God said. Here's a chair. Do you believe that that chair will hold me up? I believe it will. I believe that chair will hold me up. In fact, I could stand on it. I could sit on it. I could lay on it. There'd be a lot of me hanging off, but I believe that chair will hold me up. In fact, I think that's a wonderful chair. I really enjoy that chair. I like the color, the fabric. Goes well with the carpet up here. What a great chair. In fact, I can sing about the chair. Oh, how I love that chair. Oh, how I love that chair. Oh, how I love that chair. And I believe it will hold me up.
Beautiful song.
Beautiful song. Made it up right on the fly. You could probably tell that, I'm sure. I know what you're thinking. Then sit down. You believe all that stuff. You sing about it. Why don't you sit down? You know, that's exactly where a lot of people are concerning salvation. This little illustration I'm trying to provide for you, that's exactly where they are. Up here, yep, they would agree with all that stuff. But they still haven't sat down. Until I sit down, I don't get the benefit of the chair. All those things I've been saying about the chair and singing about the chair, they're all true. They're all true. How do you know that, Pastor? Because I sat down. Man alive, there are so many people in this world. Up here, they know all this stuff. By the way, the devil does too. The devil does too. But he's not about to sit down. And again, I know a lot of people, they know all this stuff, but they haven't yet sat down. See, it's got to be believed, it's got to be trusted, it's got to be where we actually put ourselves in his hands. We must believe that the sacrifice of God's Son is enough. We must believe that the sacrifice of God's Son will make us clean in God's eyes. We must believe that the sacrifice of God's Son satisfies God's demands. We must have faith in God's redemptive plan, his justifying work. It's got to be believed. It's got to be received. You've got to make it yours. Listen, no one can do it for you. I will never receive the benefit of this chair if I ask somebody like Tim Cooper to come up here and sit on it for me. Now, I love Tim, but that's not going to help me in any way receive the benefit of that chair. I've got to sit down myself. There are lots of people, again, depending really on what somebody else did. Well, when I was in the Army, this is so many years ago, but I just thought about this. When I was in the Army, there was a man that worked with me, and he was older than I and had much higher rank than I did. And I remember one day talking with him, just the two of us. We were kind of alone in this office area. And I was talking to him about salvation and things like that. And I asked him, I said, "Are you a Christian?" His response to me was, "Well, of course I'm a Christian. What do you think I am, a heathen?" But see, if you knew him like I knew him, you would know that he wasn't a Christian. I'm speaking in the Bible sense of the word. A born-again believer of Jesus Christ. You could tell by the way he talked. You could tell by the things he did. You could tell about his whole lifestyle and the language that he used. And all just so many signals that were saying, you know what, this guy's not. He doesn't know Jesus. He doesn't know Jesus. But his response was, "Well, what do you think I am, a heathen?" Of course, I didn't say him, but I'm thinking in my heart, yeah, in some ways you are. Because if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, you are a heathen. It's not enough to know it up here, friend. You're still, you ready? You're still about 18 inches from salvation. The distance from your head to your heart. The channel of justification. Faith in God's plan and what God's word says. Number one, the source. Number two, the basis. Number three, the guarantee. Number four, the channel. The title again is Justified by Faith. Here's the question. We're almost done. Are you justified? I didn't say, are you a church member? I didn't say, did you give in the offering today? I didn't say, did you bring a Bible with you? I didn't say, 101 different things that sometimes people trust in. By the way, I didn't even say this. Are you an American? There are people that think because they live here, they're a Christian. No, that's not true, friend. Are you justified? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Remember the story in the book of Exodus? Has the blood been applied to the doorposts of your heart? And by the way, I'll say this and then I'll wrap this up. When judgment day comes, you know what Jesus is going to be looking for? Not church membership. Not your giving record. He's going to be looking for the blood. Has the blood been applied? Was it believed and applied? If it was, here's what you'll hear. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. If it's not been applied, here's what you'll hear. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, into everlasting fire. I can't speak for you, I can speak for me. I'd rather hear that first set of words than that second set of words. I can also stand here and tell you I'm going to hear that first set of words because I've been justified. I know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I took him as my Lord and Savior many years ago. And for all these years, God helping me, I've been trying to tell others, just like I'm trying to tell you today. I hope you'll make it yours if you haven't already. If you have made it yours already, let's rejoice together. Justification is free. It's by God's grace. We didn't deserve it. We'll never earn it. But God gave it to us, and I'm so thankful. I'm sure you are as well. Let's stand together, shall we? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one's looking. We don't want to embarrass anyone. Justified by faith. This is part one of a several-part message. I hope it's been encouraging to you. Amen. Heavenly Father, please work in hearts and lives today. You know each one of us, and you know each one of us, whether we're saved or not. And so if we happen to be here and we're not saved, would you point that out to us and make it very clear? And would you also make sure that those of us who might be here and don't yet know you as Lord and Savior, would you make it very clear to whoever that is that salvation's a free gift? All they got to do is believe what God said and receive it, take it as their own. It's a free gift. Help them to make it theirs today. For those of us who are already saved, Lord, please help us to share this news with others. So many people still need to hear it. Help us to tell them. Gently and sweetly. Bless this invitation now. In Jesus' name, amen.